do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. 5 topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. Best in both conferences. Indiana setting a new pace. Don't forget about the bowl. And would you look at that? And an empty town is all around. Today is December 1st. National Eat a Red Apple Day. Jay, when's the last time you ate a red apple?
Years ago?
I went apple picking.
I went apple picking this year. I had a bite out of a red apple.
How was it?
Apple picking was fantastic.
How was the apple?
Some of it got stuck in my teeth. It's okay.
My Siri just went off saying something went wrong as you talked about having an apple. Because I said apple. Is that how that works, Siri? Marcus, my friend Ian has a stand-up bit where he says red delicious apple. They got half that name right. And I agree with that. They did get half that name right. It is red. A red apple is disgusting.
Why are you a hater?
I agree with that. I'm a green apple guy, but the last time I had a red apple technically was when, remember Nelly had the apple bottom jeans?
Mm-hmm.
And I will leave it there.
Okay. Well, in this corner,
Big Mark just took this
the biggest soccer fan I know, the most braggadocious beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics, he reps Kings, and he still believes in Aaron Kraft, Eric Devendorf, and anybody else who flamed out of college on their way
Elmore
to the
brothers.
Basketball.
Please put them in there.
The Elmore brothers. Oh, no. Those guys didn't flame out. They're just getting stronger. Exactly. Ride with him on Peloton at the Kid, the God. It's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, have you decorated for Christmas yet?
See, this is you guys set me up because people saw my Christmas tree without the lights or anything on it.
Yeah,
so
we just got a bare-ass tree.
See, here's the thing, though. We bought it this weekend,
uh-huh.
And the Celtics had games Sunday and Monday. So we decorated Tuesday night, right after I took the picture. Okay. It's now decorated.
You don't decorate it right away when you bring it home? Isn't that the part of the tree?
It's just,
don't you have to let it fall
part of the
little
schedule?
Bit?
Yeah, you got to
let it fall a little bit. Yeah, that's
feed it
that's
some water,
true.
Let it fall, and then put the ornaments and shit on there.
In this corner.
Let the kid live.
The most versatile media member the Bay Area has ever seen. He's written 3 books with ridiculously long titles that you can find in bookstores everywhere. He's the fiend. No, not the fiend. Wow. He's the friend and the fiend from Frisco. The bro from Berkeley. He puts the sauce in Sausalito. The media in Alameda. The AO in Vallejo. The petty in Petaluma. But more importantly, he's the OG from Oakland. Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, have you decorated for Christmas yet?
I don't do Christmas decorations.
You don't do Christmas decorations at all?
Zero?
No tree, no wreath, no nutcrackers.
My wife will like, we used to have this battle every year and I was against it, but now I'm just like, do whatever you want to do. I'm not involved in that.
So what do you have against it?
Against the holidays? Shall we begin?
Against the decorations. That's a whole other the decorations.
Part. I'm just not a big holiday. Let's just say I'm not a big holiday guy.
That's okay. Drew, me. Justin,
we
won't
press you on it.
I'm more which of a holiday? Drew guy.
Definitely okay, Drew holiday, yeah.
Yeah, when we talk about holidays, I'm not rocking with Thanksgiving. I'm rocking with Drew. Get Christmas out of here. Give me Aaron. You know, I don't care about no 4th of July, but mm-hmm. Lauren Holiday is in the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
baby.
Wow.
This
How
is
about
what I
that?
Do. Them the holidays I rock with.
I'm Zach Harper. That is the banter section checked off.
I'm more of
the
a Zeller
to-do
guy
list.
Myself.
We know you are. Let's
Jay looks at me in a whole different light. He's like, bro, you don't like Christmas? I don't know about this.
You still open presents though, Marcus?
I get not Absolutely. Liking Christmas, but it's
of course,
a whole
there it
like,
is.
You get me a gift. I'm cracking that thing open. What you talking about? I'm just particular about where they go before I open them.
All right, Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Do we already know? The Boston Celtics and the Phoenix Suns are leaders in both conferences. Check this out. The 2 best net ratings in the NBA. The 2 best offenses. The Celtics with a historic 120 offensive rating. That's 120 American points per 100 American possessions. Both only 1 loss at home. Both teams have not been at full strength. Celtics missing Rob Williams. Although, you follow Jay King on the old Twitter and Instagram, He's back at practice blocking shots, and the Suns missing Chris Paul for half the season so far. Most important, those teams in the, are at the top of their respective conferences in the Zach Harper Power Rankings on theathletic.com. That last point seems to be the biggest feather in
That's
their
really
cap.
The most important.
Yeah, like the feather size that would be on a pterodactyl if pterodactyls had feathers. But, you know, the more we discover about dinosaurs, the more we think they had feathers, right? Raptors had feathers and all this stuff. So I think a pterodactyl feather is a real thing.
The fuck? Where the fuck?
I just want you to know that. Shout out to pterodactyls. Also, pterodactyl, I can spell that word off the top of my head. One of the few words I can spell.
PTE.
Marcus. That's right. Marcus, if you were to predict the two teams in the NBA Finals, are you taking the Suns and the Celtics?
He's going to say the Warriors.
I'm not.
He's going to say the Warriors.
I feel better about the Celtics than I do the Suns. I'll say that. Even though I actually, the Suns make a lot of sense. They have a lot to play for. You know, the same reasons I used to love them are still there. The problem to me is so unique this year. They're not good in the clutch. Remember how last year in a clutch they were insanely
good? Chris Paul's
gone.
Unbeatable.
Yeah. And that, but like, you're riding campaign. We saw campaign in the playoffs.
But hold on. We know Chris Paul's going to be back, right?
Yes. Yeah, but that's not the issue. The issue is what happens when Chris Paul leaves the game. And they still have the same issue. There are moments where campaign can't play. It's a matchup you can exploit. And I just don't know that they're stronger. Maybe they're smarter. I don't know that they're better. They're still really, really good. They could make it there. I just feel like they have a harder road in the West. With Boston, you could tell this team, like they were in the kitchen when the championship was being cooked, and they didn't get to eat it, right? Mm-hmm. They're playing like that team. Like, Jaylen Brown is better. Like, he's just better. Like, Jason Tatum is better.
And Tatum's unbelievable, yeah.
Like, so it's like, to me, Phoenix isn't better. They're just still as good as they were, where Boston has clearly seemed to have made a leap, right? And then you throw in Brogdon. Like, that's another, like, actual attribute where Phoenix basically got the same squad they got ripped by.
Well, less than, because Crowder's gone, Cam Johnson's hurt, Chris Paul's hurt. Jay, don't say the Bucks because that's boring. Who is the biggest threat in both conferences that nobody's talking about?
The Bucks.
Bucks.
No,
I want to rewind a little bit. I want to rewind a little bit because the reason I can't trust the Suns right now, forget about how they flamed out last year. That was tough. That was really tough. But DeAndre Ayton working out in a towel in front of his teammates after the game, I can't trust him. I cannot trust
I don't,
a guy
I,
who's going to work out and lift in a towel and bare feet.
I'm saying, right, you had
game.
A naked tree. Now you hating on a naked center? Come on.
Yeah.
You should be rocking with
that. I just don't understand the utility of it. Like, forget about wearing very little. I just don't understand how you can get a good lift in when you're worried about whatever's going on down there, and then
that's,
you don't have
shoes. That's how worried. That's, he's not worried. That's the finest tuned athlete, right?
Worried and he's not. You know
yeah, he's not worried. He's getting the lift in.
You never know what's going to happen when people are filming you when you're
that,
in the towel.
That man
out.
Who
but
rode the
not
bench
worried.
In game
yes.
7 of mm-hmm. the Western Conference Finals and don't care no
By
more.
By choice? Didn't he right. not go? He didn't want to go in, right?
Yeah.
They get smacked.
And
you just
anyway,
think about it. I just need to get in the towel and start working out, like get to the offseason.
It's Cleveland in the East.
Wow.
Cleveland in the East. I just
Cleveland
think
over the Bucks.
No, it's still the Bucks. It's still the Bucks. But people should be talking about the Bucks because they're 14-5, and Chris Middleton hasn't played yet.
I know he's coming back too.
He hasn't
soon.
Even played yet. Like, how many teams could lose their second best player and
best
just go
14-5? Best defensive team in basketball
yeah.
with no Chris Middleton.
They are
with
very
no
extremely good.
Like, that's crazy.
Yo, they put Javon Carter and Drew Holiday on the floor together. They're giving up like 95 points per 100 possessions. Something ridiculous.
My God, Javon Carter. I've been telling you, Javon Carter, baby.
And then in the West, I'm still super intrigued by the Clippers. Like, I don't trust them because I don't really trust Kawhi to be healthy, especially after the way everything is going with him. But if they can get him healthy by the playoffs, that is just...
He totally missed the moment, didn't he, Zach? He missed the moment.
I missed the moment.
You went with the Clippers? The Kings, you were supposed to say.
Where's the Kings?
Kings.
You know why?
We can't get ahead of ourselves. We can't get ahead of ourselves.
The last three games going into this recording, Jay King has been real quiet in that group chat, hasn't he?
The Kings tribe can't get ahead of ourselves.
Light the beam every night until we're not lighting the beam anymore. Now it's just real quiet. It's like, oh, I got to meet Deli. That's all it is.
I did get to see Deli play actual NBA basketball, though. Like, in a real game.
All right.
Majestic.
Take two. Setting the pace.
First.
Monday night, Andrew Nembhard of the Pacers hit a game-winning shot against the Lakers after an offensive rebound, a pass from Tyrese Halliburton. Pacers missed that shot. They get the rebound. Halliburton drives. He took advantage of this two-and-a-half-year stretch from LeBron in which he has played absolutely zero defense. Kicks that out to the rookie for the game winner at the What the Hell Has Happened to My Bitcoin.com arena. Halliburton recounted the play post-game. Schlecht, play the tape.
I didn't know how much time was up, but I kind of glanced up. So at first, I was just going to rise up and shoot it. 5 seconds. I took one more dribble, and I was like, I think I had 4 seconds, a lot of time. So I took two more dribbles. Buddy was in the corner. Ben was on the block, and AD was kind of splitting the two. And I wanted to throw it to Buddy, but I knew if I threw it to Buddy, that there was going to be a hard contest from AD. Tough shot. So I reverse pivoted with my left foot, and when I went to kick it, I saw LeBron like in the paint. And then it was like kind of a read. If LeBron took two steps, I'm throwing it over top to Ben. But he was late, so I just fired it to Drew for the game.
That's him noticing LeBron James not playing the defense he needs to play. Pacers are top 15 in both offense and defense, winning 7 of the last 9 going into Sacramento Wednesday night. We are recording Wednesday midday. They're on a 7-game road trip that could make or break just how real this is for the Pacers. Two questions. Jay, have you ever had as many thoughts as Halliburton in a 4-second stretch? Also, you a believer in Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers, currently 4th in the Eastern Conference at 12-8.
I'm a big thinker. You know, I'm a really analytical guy. And so, yes, I've had far more thoughts than that.
Far more
than that. Far more.
4 seconds.
Yeah. But seriously, I appreciate when guys detail plays like that because every basketball player goes through that in their head to some extent. Obviously, not everybody like Halliburton because he's really, really smart. But not everybody can share it and explain exactly what they were thinking as it happened. And detail it. And so that's cool when you get a view into that. I also want to just call myself a moron here because when the Pacers traded for Halliburton, I was one of the people saying to tone it down and that everyone was overrating Halliburton and that the Kings got Sabonis, who was an all-star, and they made out fine in the deal too. Hell no. Hell no. Like, my Kings got fleeced. They got absolutely fleeced. Halliburton.
Your boy, Domantas Sabonis.
Halliburton is extremely
good. Yo, this is a huge moment in radio history and podcast history.
Halliburton.
Like, this is big. Like, Jay King is saying they got fleeced
air
in the deal.
Horns. I need ambulance.
Huge moment.
I need a crowd of disgruntled people in the back. Like, we need a lot here.
The Pacers were stuck in purgatory with the most boring team ever. Mm-hmm. And the Kings were just like, here's this franchise guard. Just take him. We'll take the big guy you're not even really that interested in keeping anyway and who never made you better than mediocre. Mm-hmm. And Halliburton's been so good. Mathurin is a stud. This team went from being absolutely boring, bland, just hopeless to all of a sudden, they have an extremely talented young backcourt that's going to do a lot of things. My Kings got fleeced. And Sabonis has been good. Sabonis has really helped their offense.
No, he hasn't.
Their offense, yes. But, man, that was an awful trade. It was far worse than I realized at the time.
Marcus,
I'm here to apologize to the Halliburton.
I cannot believe this. Marcus, are you buying this?
This is epic. This is epic.
I'm not even asking you now, are you buying the Pacers? Are you buying this Jay King reaction?
Oh, I'm buying it. Absolutely. And I'm loving it.
Wow.
Like, this is a moment of clarity. You just asked him, what does he think in 4 seconds? That sounds like a 10-second thought right there.
I told you,
like,
I have a lot of thoughts in 4 seconds.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that, in 4 seconds.
He just told you he was a thinker and an analyst, and then he comes out with that take. Don't ever doubt Jay King's intellectual capacity, brother.
Wow. That is That's stunning, man. That's stunning. I do. I'm with Jay on the I like when players detail this stuff, right? Too often it's like, hey, did the fans pump you up after the game, you know, to win that game? Like, it's just bullshit questions like that, right? And those aren't fun. Like, there's some really bad questions that get asked.
Or like, did you know the shot was going to go in? Like,
yeah. No,
okay. Yo, can we just pause here and like confess that some of these questions are awful.
Bad.
Like,
bad.
I understand why they get so bad. It's like, are you kidding me? Did you watch the game?
If I have to study this game and play in this game and execute to the level that you have to execute to be good at the NBA, and then afterwards I'm getting, hey, the crowd fire you up for this this home win?
Hey, and you know the problem? Like, I ask some bad questions sometimes, too. I've asked a question, and I came out like, yo, that wasn't a good question, right? Like that, but I don't think many of these people know they're asking bad questions.
No.
I think they feel like, yo, this was a good question.
Bad, man. Bad.
I'm like, ooh, Marcus, dang, that was terrible. And it's on TV. You're an idiot.
Every once in a while, you catch yourself halfway through a question. You're like, I don't know where I'm going with this, right? I thought I knew, but I don't see an exit ramp anywhere. Like, you get caught up in the air, and you just have to, you got to find your way. You got to find your way through the desert. Every once in a while.
I need to spend 4 more seconds rethinking the question sometimes.
Hey, quit saying talk about this. That's a command, not a question.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yep. But the Pacers are good. Hey, people, baseball may be over on the field.
We just did the Pacers dirty, man. This is their one time to get shine.
Stove is about to be fired up, so be sure to check out all the latest rumblings and grumblings. I asked you about the Kings, and the Pacers, you started talking about the Kings. You can hear all the latest rumblings and grumblings on the Athletic Baseball Show, a podcast which features some of the best writers and thinkers in the game. Check this out. Ken Rosenthal, Jason Stark, Doug Glanville, Britt Gorelli, Eno Saris, Keith Law, Andy McCullough, Derek Van Riper, Tim McMaster, among others. That's right here.
That's a loaded staff.
On the Athletic Podcast Network. Back after this.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
And we're back. Take 3. Don't forget to spark the bowl. Wednesday night, we had the showdown of the season. Kind of. It was Kevin Durant versus Bol Bol. After the game, Paolo Banchero had this to say about his teammate Bol Bol. Quote, everyone talks about the Victor dude from France. I'm not trying to compare them, but Bol's 7'2", shoots threes, brings it up the court, makes passes, and blocks shots. I feel like people kind of forget about him, but Bol's a freak of nature. Bol is currently averaging 13.5 points, 7.9 rebounds, and 2 blocks, and has a true shooting percentage in the neighborhood of 67%. Stefan Marbury loves him too. Starbury, who has me blocked on Twitter, said, quote, he will be a top-tier player in the next 2 years. He's playing with a passion because of how he was treated elsewhere. It's great to see him shine. He has his father's heart and desires on the court, mixed with all the things his father didn't have as a player. Marcus, did you forget about Bol Bol? What other players are people forgetting about this season that deserve a look?
You know, this is, like, I feel like we need to change the draft process because it is very clear. And we give up on players really easy, but it's very clear. Like, you just need to play. You need time, right? This is less about Bol Bol than it is about him going to Orlando, where there are minutes aplenty. Maybe the bottom half of the draft should only be drafted. And then after 2 years, the good teams can pick which ones they want from the from the bottom tier. Because look, like, you got a guy like Jonathan Kuminga who played really well last night. And hold on, every
Are you trying to make the bad teams a farm system for the good teams?
I mean, basically.
The man that covers the Warriors? Yes.
Basically. No, it's like the Warriors have like 11 of these guys who don't get to play, and they're going to be like bust because of it. And then they'll go to another team with minutes they'll play, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, they're good. And because the league is so young, right, like there aren't that many places where like you could just be like the young dude on all veteran squad. So some young dudes are getting to play and some are not. And it's kind of skewing how we judge them. Right. So to me, like, Bol Bol is benefiting from the fact that he went to a team that lets him play. And I think maybe that should mean we should probably be a little bit more patient with some of these players because we'll see. Warriors had another guy, Chris Boucher.
Right.
He literally play for the Warriors. He literally could not play. And now look at him. He's good. Sometimes a player just needs time. So, yeah, I forgot about Bol Bol. We all did because he was tucked on a bench in Denver, a good team who couldn't afford to deal with his rookie mistakes.
I'm not going to allow Bol Bol comparisons to Victor Wembanyama. I'm not here for it.
Also, Paolo, let's not say he makes passes. He's averaging less than an assist per game. Okay. He's not making passes.
Victor Wembanyama is a
generational prospect. Then be like, I'm not comparing him.
That was absolutely a comparison. 100% a comparison, despite the claim that it wasn't. Yeah, I'm not going to allow that. Like, Bol Bol has shown some flashes this year. He's made some incredible blocks. He has an interesting package of skills that if he ever puts it together at some point, could be a fine player. Wembanyama is just different, and so this whole thing, even though it was his teammate, it infuriated me. Like, let's just tone it down, Paolo. There is no need to gas up your teammate like that.
I mean, now you need Orlando to get the number one pick, right? Like that's what we need to happen. So that
the Bol Bol Wembanyama one-on-one battles in training camp next year would be electric.
Yeah.
They would not. They would not. It would be sheer domination. He's also like 3 inches taller than Bol Bol.
Yeah.
And does everything at a much higher level.
He's a lot better at everything.
With a
too.
Lot
he's
higher
a lot
intellect
better. Yeah.
And shooting touch. And
this is like when Harold Miner
like, he's
was
like the
nicknamed
Kirkland
Baby
signature.
Jordan.
He's like the Kirkland signature Wembanyama, but not even Kirkland. Like Kirkland signature divided by 10. Whatever
wow.
that is.
Goodness. Is that a shot at Bol or are you just that high on Victor Wembanyama?
Both. Both.
Who would you take right now, Chet Holmgren or Bol Bol?
Like
reminder,
for the rest of this season.
Yes.
Do I have a good team or a bad team?
Doesn't matter.
I'll take Chet.
Man, a goal by Saudi Arabia late in the game knocked out Mexico from the knockout rounds. This is disappointing.
I'm not doing this soccer stuff either.
Wait, I thought you were a soccer fan. Just U.S. soccer.
No, I was just faking.
Oh, you know they're not out yet. They play Saturday.
I'll be watching Saturday.
9 a.m. or 10 a.m.?
I will say Pulisic is the Matthew Dellavedova of soccer players. He's the only guy that popped up at the hospital after a big game.
Yeah, but they won, so it's different.
I'm just saying. Pulisic is Dellavedova.
I saw someone was like, hey, what's the NBA equivalent for Pulisic? And someone responded, Tyler Hero. And I got a lot of like... I saw a lot of like, that's a perfect comp. I thought, oh no, that can't be good. Hey, coming up after the break, Luka's boring Jason Kidd with his performances and not to mention Karl-Anthony Towns out for a while. Coming back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back. Take four. Would you look at that? Tuesday night, Luka Doncic puts up a ridiculous 41-12-12 in a win against the Warriors with some of the most high-level offensive basketball we've seen this season from both those teams in that game. And after the game, Jason Kidd, Luka's coach, had this to say about Luka. Quote, "It's getting boring. I mean, let's see something different. Maybe do it with his left hand." Pretty sure Kidd was just last naming himself there. But what Luka has done at this stage of his career is astonishing. He's leading the league in scoring and already has as many 40-point games in his career as Dirk Nowitzki. He's 23 years old. Jay, how much better can Luka get from here, and what is next for him?
He can get a lot better.
Isn't that crazy? Because I agree. Like, he can get a lot better.
You look at even his game this year.
He should get a lot better.
Yeah. But you look at even his game this year, it's like all of a sudden he's posting up all the time. And that wasn't something he used regularly. And he's a 6'8 house and just roasts people in the post consistently. And that's just something he decided over the summer, like, yeah, I'll just add that to my game. But to me, where he needs to get better and better is like all the moving without the ball, all the stuff that will make the game easier for the guys around him. Because when he makes the play for other guys, he's helping them get better. But he needs to help them make their own plays too. The way the best at moving off the ball. Like if he becomes James Harden, to me, that's a disappointment. You know, and he's so good with the ball in his hands that I think it's probably tempting for him to just have it in his hands all the time. But he's got like a 40% usage rate, which is just stupid right now.
Yeah, I think third highest in NBA history right now.
Yeah, and part of that is the roster, obviously. Like, they just don't have a lot of creators around.
Yeah, they've got Dinwiddie, and that's about it for creators.
But
right?
Part Maybe of it is Tim just Hardaway. His style, and he's got to learn how to like catch and shoot. He's got to learn a lot of stuff that he hasn't had to learn yet. But
shot selection is still an issue.
There are still so many levels that he can get to.
Yeah,
he's ridiculous.
Marcus, you watched that game last night. What was the the things he was doing to still a pretty good defense, right? Like, I know the Warriors have their issues at times, but that's still like guys who know what to do against him, and he's just torching. That one-handed pass he had to the corner was ridiculous, man. That was nasty.
The little underhanded scoop joint. That was nice.
He's such a he there's so much like pleasure in watching Luka, right? There's a sense of you don't know what's coming, even though you know what's coming. It felt like that with it used to feel like that with LeBron, but like with Luka, like there are shots where he's just like, he's not making that, and he's making it, like the running banks, like it's crazy. But at the same time, he's hella irritating to watch. Luka needs to get better with his composure.
Like, he whines a lot.
Nah, let my man whine.
We can't kill Chris Paul over it. We can't do that. And then like Luka gets a pass. Like, come on.
The whining part is a bad part, but it also impacts his play. It impacts how he approaches the game. There's a reason he's only shooting 31% from three. He takes a lot of bad "I'm coming right back at you" shots in the way that Westbrook does. Like, he just needs like. And you could see his teammate, like, if he want to make his teammates better, that's part of it. Like, him saying, all right, I'm not going to dominate the ball. I'm okay right now. Let me work to get somebody else going. He just kind of he's so good, it's easy to get seduced into it. But you could get him out of his... You can get him out of his mind a little bit. The problem is he's still really good when he's like upset, frustrated. Like, he still will cook you. Right?
Suns thought they got him out of his mind a little bit, and that didn't end so well.
Like, that's the thing. That's why he's so good. But the composure element, like, he's so smart. He's so big. He's so talented. He can like control everything more than he does. Right. But to me, that's the next level for him. And by the way, I mean, this is an NBA problem. Like, the NBA, like, craps on its product more than any other league out there. Why is Jason Kidd talking about it's boring? Why are you saying this about...
Well, that was a joke, man.
It's tongue-in-cheek.
Like,
he's just last-naming everybody. He's just last-naming everybody,
okay? You can't expect NBA head coaches to be funny. You've been in press conferences. You know the bar for funny is so low.
I thought about this. I can't remember what I was listening to. I was listening to some podcast this morning, but I listened to something and... Oh, maybe it was actually about Pulisic or something, but like how he was like celebrating, like, wow, this is amazing and everything after when he was in the hospital, like Dellavedova. And I thought, like, man, if I was that player, like if I was that good, right? Like, let's say I'm Luka in the NBA doing all this stuff. And I've done it since I'm like 14, all that. I would be going, guys, do you know how ridiculous this is? Like, yes, I'm impressed with what I'm doing. Like, this is incredible. This is like, I don't know what the next step is, but I know that I'm enjoying the hell out of being able to play this way. I think Lucas should be able to say that. I think we should be celebrating this shit more. All we do is like, oh, act like you've been there before. That you can't celebrate that. Fuck out of here with that. Celebrate everything. Every shot. Every shot. I want every shot to look like that scene in semi-pro where they make a bucket and they're all celebrating at half court. In the background, you see the other team go for a fast break layup.
How'd you feel about, like, how'd you like feel about Kelly Oubre doing the too short sign after while down 30?
I'm just like in the commentary about it.
Yeah.
If you watch baseball and if a guy comes close to a no hitter, like it's like, oh, this is Warren Spahn, right? Like, is it like there's a whole. I know, right? This is my first baseball.
What Warren Spahn.
What a pull. Like,
Satchel Paige, and, you know, like they, like everybody's talking about how great it is, how rare it is, how hard it is. Like, keep it that context. And Hoop be like, eh, what's next?
Oh, man, everyone like, clowned. Nah,
that dude dropped a 40-point triple-double. Like, let's
everyone
talk about how great that is.
Clowned the Wolves last year for celebrating the play-in tournament to get in the playoffs. If you watch that team for 30 years, that's an accomplishment. They should celebrate. That franchise never has anything to celebrate. Let them have that moment.
Nah. The Wolves fans.
Hey,
man.
Speaking of the Wolves,
I'm not going to be there for that.
Take five, Jay. Out of town.
Those poor Wolves fans.
On Monday night, Karl-Anthony Towns left the Wizards after suffering a calf strain. Injury was non-contact. It mimicked what looks like an Achilles tendon tear. So luckily, the Wolves don't have to deal with a long recovery like that. Our own John Krasinski reports Towns will likely miss a month or more with the injury, but is still a calf strain. Wolves have been brutal with Gobert on the floor offensively, scoring just 105 points per 100 possessions with him out there. Put that in perspective, that would be the worst in the league. But their defense has been pretty damn good, giving up just 107.6 points per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. With Towns on the floor, they're scoring 111, but giving up 112 per 100. With both of them out there, it's been roughly 107 points scored and 108 points allowed per 100 possessions. So now that it looks like it's just Gobert in the middle, just Gobert is the only big man out there. Marcus, what are your expectations on the Wolves without Karl-Anthony Towns for a month or so?
Here comes the winning streak, baby. They're about to go on a run.
Wow.
They're about to go on a run.
Wow.
Get ready. Have you seen how clunky it is offensively with them two dudes out there?
It's pretty weird, man.
Like, it's literally like weird. It's basketball offense with two left feet, right? Like that's they stay running into each other. Anthony Edwards has literally been handcuffed by the presence of these two guys. To me, you swap out one of the big men with Jaden McDaniels, that frees everything up. You know what Rudy does well on offense? Screen. He'll send screens, right?
Oh, the screen assist
doesn't do on offense. He doesn't send screens, right?
He's a terrible screener, actually. You're right. He's
like, they got a guy now.
The only thing that helps him on those screens, Marcus, is that he is a threat to shoot the ball if he just stands there. And so you do have to kind of stick to him a little bit. But yeah, he's a bad screen setter.
I think they're going to go on a little run. I think they're going to look better than they have because offensively, like, now you got space for the guys to cook. And I'm not saying Towns is better than Gobert. I feel like if you took out Gobert and played Towns instead, the offense would be better. With this way, though, the defense will be good. You know the defense will be good. You know Gobert will hold down the defense in the regular season. So I feel like they'll be better. I feel like they'll go on a little run, and then it'll put a bunch of pressure on Karl-Anthony Towns to come back, and he'll try to show off, and he'll bring him right back down because he'll be doing too much.
It's Nas Reed season.
Yo, Nas is good.
Nas Reed season.
Can play, man. Nas Reed can play. They should Gobert should be coming off the bench for Nas Reed.
Finally, like, the Timberwolves
Nas Reed
fans,
is good.
Finally, Timberwolves fans have something to be happy about.
Yes.
It is Nas Reed season. For real though, this could bump them out of like the playoff race entirely. I'm totally on a different wavelength than Mark is here. They don't have many good players. Like, this is a team that traded a ton of solid players to get Rudy Gobert in the first place, and then he hasn't really worked out. Their offense with him on the court is just atrocious. The offense with him and not Towns is atrocious, and I'm not convinced it's going to be any good while Towns is out. So I just think they don't have enough good players. Gobert hasn't been transformative enough in the ways that they need him to be. Like, his block rate is way, way down. He hasn't shored up their defensive rebounding at all, probably because when you're getting roasted on the perimeter all the time, like, that's usually pretty bad for your defense and your defensive rebounding. But I just think this is a team going nowhere. And I was a little optimistic when they rattled off like five straight wins, but just watching them play, it's just a broken bunch.
Yeah, I think the weird thing for them is they had a chance to pad their record at the start of the season, right? And they still went like 4-2 4-3 in their first seven games, but they played the Thunder twice, they played the Jazz, they played the Spurs three times, and they played the Lakers, and they went 4-3. And I know
so
it's
you
still
saying it was, you said it was, you said it was, what you call it? Like, you know, when
it's schedule fast, wins.
Oh, what?
Fool's
smoke and mirrors?
Is what I was
fool's
gold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 4-3 against that. Like, they should have.
That's
no
not
shit
even
gone 7-0.
That's like fool's coal or something. Like,
yeah.
Like fool's gold plated, huh?
Yeah. And now, like, you know, they got Memphis, they got the Thunder, they got the Pacers, and then they go on the road for five. Like, they got a tough schedule coming up. I think this is the time for Chris Finch to kind of recalibrate, say, look, we can mimic some of the stuff Utah had success with in the way that they played. And I don't know if you can change all that on the fly, but there's got to be something you could do to keep the defense while creating offense. And maybe that's more Kyle Anderson. I don't know what that is. Like, you know, maybe the biggest problem here is that they need D'Angelo Russell to not be terrible right now. And he's had a bad season.
Yeah, he's been bad for a while now.
I think that playoffs kind of crippled him. Like, his confidence might be shot. Like, he was not good in that series, and
yeah,
he ain't been the same since.
Turn the keys over to Anthony Edwards. I think that's the key here.
That's why they're going to do it, because it's going to be Ant-Man's team now.
No, it's Nas Reed's team. Nas Reed.
No, you know what? I'm with Jay on this. It is Nas Reed's team. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention.
All right, the Ant-Man, Nas Reed pick and roll. Let's go.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. We got Warriors Plus, Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and also The Bun and Cardigan Show, a Detroit Pistons podcast with our good friend James Edwards III. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schleck, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
Love you guys.